السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته ومغفرته. الحمد لله رب العالمين والعاقبة للمتقين والصلاة والسلام على سيد المرسلين وعلى آله الطيبين وأصحابه أجمعين ومن تبعهم إلى يوم الدين. أما بعد، فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. إن الصفا والمروة من شعائر الله، فمن حج البيت أو اعتمر فلا جناح عليه أن يطوف بهما، صدق الله العظيم وصدق رسوله النبي الأمين الكريم، ونحن على ذلك لمن الشاهدين. Respected audience, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has emphasized in the Quran many things that are an obligation upon us. From amongst them, the most important of all, not only for Muslims, but these obligations are for each and every mukallaf of the law of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and that is the five pillars of Islam, known as the imaduddin, the pillars of the religion. And the first one from amongst them is shahada, to accept faith in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to say that you bear witness that there is no God but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He is alone and He has no partners, and to believe in everything else in regards to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and to bear witness that there is Sayyiduna Muhammad Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam as a servant and the final prophet of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is the first pillar of Islam, and this is an obligation upon every individual that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created, whether they be from amongst the humans or from the jinn. From amongst them five pillars, the fifth pillar of Islam is the Hajj, the pilgrimage of Hajj. Hajj of the Baytullah, the house of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is a pillar of Islam. And being a pillar of Islam, it itself speaks of its importance. How important it is. It is a pillar of the religion. Now imagine, there is a building. The building cannot stand on its own. There has to be pillars or walls that hold the building up. Without the pillars, the building cannot stand. In the same way, the religion Islam has five pillars. The main pillar is shahada, without which the whole building would fall. That is the first middle pillar that holds the whole building on its own. But there is immense fear that without the rest of the pillars, the building will fall and you will become a non-Muslim. You will lose your faith. And the whole aim of this life is to die as a believer. If you die as a believer, then there is eternal bliss for you. And if you die as a non-believer, then there is eternal burning in the hellfire, eternal punishment in the fire of hell. And that is why these pillars are extremely important, because they will protect your faith, protect the building of your religion, and that will ensure that you die as a believer. And in the same way as namaz, salah, roza, fasting in the month of Ramadan, Zakat annually in the path of Allah to the poor and whoever else is eligible to take it. Hajj of the house of Allah is as much important as they are. Without performing Hajj, the building of faith, of religion, of Islam becomes weak for that individual who has not performed Hajj, if it has become an obligation upon him. The building of faith becomes weak, then there is no certainty that that person will die as a believer. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran, وَلِلَّهِ عَلَى النَّاسِ حِجُّ الْبَيْتِ, that for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, upon the people is an obligation to perform Hajj of the house of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. مَنِ اسْتَضَاعَ إِلَيْهِ سَبِيلًا, only for those who have the istita'ah, who have the strength, and that's the financial and physical strength to go and perform that Hajj. Then it becomes an obligation upon the person. If you look at salah, namaz, it is a worship we do with our body. So you need physical strength for it to become an obligation upon you. If you look at fasting, again, physical strength you need to perform fasting in the month of Ramadan. Somebody who is extremely weak and they can't fast, it will be detrimental to their health or their life. They will not fast because they don't possess the physical strength to fast. In the same way, Zakat is that physical strength? Do you need physical strength to give zakat in the path of Allah? No, it's financial strength. If you have finance, if you have the financial ability, then zakah becomes an obligation upon you. And then Hajj, what about Hajj? Do you need finances to go on Hajj? Yes, you do. Do you need the physical strength? Yes, you do. And that is why Hajj is a worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which combines physical and financial both together. And only then do they become an obligation upon each individual. So to make Hajj farz upon yourself, you need physical strength to travel all the way to Makkatul Mukarramah and to carry out the actions that are an obligation or a necessity. And you also need the financial ability to fund all of your trip all the way there, to fund your stay there and then your return, and the ability to continue life in the same way as you used to before you left. Do you understand that? So Hajj to become farz upon you, an obligation upon you, first of all, you must have the physical strength to travel. And then you must have the financial ability. You must have enough finances to leave behind funding for your children if they are not coming with you, and all those whom you are responsible for. You have to have enough money to leave behind for them, for their sustenance, and then enough money to fund your trip all the way to Makkatul Mukarramah, your stay there, your funding for all the obligatory and necessity acts there, and then funding to go to Madinatul Munawwara, which is also very close to necessary wajib, and then return from there. You should be able to fund your return trip and then continue living life in the same way as you were before you left. When a person has such financial ability, that is when Hajj becomes farz upon them. Hajj, subhanallah, is full of many, many lessons. And the importance of Hajj for every individual is that when he goes there, he learns so much about his religion. It is the center of our religion. What do you learn from Hajj? First of all, a very basic and logical understanding of Hajj is that it teaches equality. It teaches tolerance. It eradicates discrimination. It eradicates racism. When you go on to Hajj, you see, anybody heard of Malcolm X? Malcolm X. If you read history, you'll read about Malcolm X. Malcolm X was in America. He accepted Islam. But he accepted Islam in a sect known as the Nation of Islam. And what they believed is every black man has the right to become a Muslim. And every white man is the devil. This is what they used to believe. The white man is the devil. This is what they used to believe. Now, Malcolm X used to propagate these beliefs. But then he went on to Hajj. When he traveled to Hajj, to the center of our religion, he saw there that regardless of the color of your skin, regardless of your nation, culture and background, regardless of where you came from, regardless of how much financial backing you have, how much financial status you have, regardless of your father's status, regardless of the status of your family, every single person was wearing the same clothing, two pieces of cloth, and they were unsewn. No sewing took place on them. Unsewn clothing, everybody was wearing the same. And he saw that everybody is standing in the same line. And that's when he realized that it is wrong to say that the white man is the devil. Islam is only for the black man. At that time, he accepted mainstream Islam. That is when he accepted mainstream Islam. And he understood that Islam is against racism. Islam eradicates racism. Islam eradicates discrimination. Islam teaches equality for all. That is what Islam teaches. He learned that when he went onto Hajj. This is one of the importance of Hajj. You go there and you see all of this in action. Not only that, there are many other lessons that one can learn in Hajj. And very important is your belief. Your belief is very important. Your faith, what you believe inside your heart, your aqidah, that is extremely important. Because aqidah is an aqd. It's an aqd, an agreement with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that has to be secure and correct. Without that, your faith will be destroyed. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, regarding Hajj, making it from amongst the pillars of Islam, it is clear that if the pillar is taken away, then you are destroying the religion of Islam. In the same way as you miss your namaz, you miss your fasting, you do not give zakat, in the same way if you don't do Hajj, you are destroying your faith. Now one of the main, a very important lesson that we learn in Hajj, there are many masail of Hajj, the way you do Hajj, all the rules and regulations of Hajj, all of these I am not talking about here. You can learn all of these from little pamphlets and the muallimeen that are there to teach you when you go on Hajj. And all the classes and conferences that are kept before the season of Hajj comes for you to learn all of them. But what I want to tell you is the lesson we can learn from Hajj is, first of all, anything that has a nisbah, connection with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, or those that are beloved to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then their status is risen in the eyes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is a belief that we hold from amongst the Ahlus Sunnah wal Jama'ah. Imam Ahmad Raza radiallahu ta'ala, he revived this belief, the belief of respecting tabarrukat, those things that have a nisbah, a connection with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, or those that are beloved to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. A simple understanding of this is when a believer, a Muslim mu'min dies, what do we do to his body? We wash it, we clothe it, and then we take it to the graveyard, we make dua, salatul janazah, and then we bury that body in the grave. After we have buried that body in the grave, do we walk on that grave? Do we sit on that grave? Do we wipe our feet or shoes on that grave? No, we don't. We respect that grave. Up to the extent that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, whenever you go past a grave, sallim alayh, then say salam upon that qabr, upon the person living in that grave. As-salamu alaykum ya ahl al-qubur. Assalamu alaykum ya ahla dari qawmin muslimin, O mu'mineen. Say salam to the graves, to the people in the graves, the believers, those who died as Muslims. Why so much respect for these people in the grave? They've died. They are now dead. Why is it that we don't burn their bodies? Why did Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala not say, hang them on the trees and their bodies will be eaten by wild birds and animals and insects? Why not? Because they believed. And because they believed, they have a connection with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And when something has a connection with Allah, then it becomes mubarak. It becomes blessed. It becomes a possessor of barakah. And that is why the grave of a believer is respected in that manner. In the same way, the house of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We as Muslims, we only worship one Allah. We are completely against idol worshipping. But do we not do sajda towards the Kaaba? Inna awwala baytin wudi'a lin-nasi bi-Bakkata lalladhi bi-Bakkata mubarakan. The first house that was built for the people for worship is in Makkatul Mukarramah, the Kaaba. This is a building. The building is made of walls. The material used to make these walls, is it a creation or not? It is a creation of Allah. The material used. The gilaf over the Kaaba is a material. It is a creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Yet we are prostrating towards that creation of Allah. It is ghayrullah. That building is other than Allah. But we are doing sajda to it. And do you know the reason why? Because there are, one is sajda, one is masjood ilayh, and one is masjood lahu. Masjood ilayh means towards what or whom we do sajda. And masjood lahu is whom we do that sajda for. So masjood lahu is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Sajda towards the Kaaba is for Allah, but it is towards Allah, towards the Kaaba. So the Kaaba is merely a direction. It is merely a direction to show unity for the people. Otherwise Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran, فَأَيْنَمَا تُوَلُّوا فَثَمَّ وَجْهُ اللَّهِ. Whichever way you face, you will find the direction leads to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So you can pray in any direction, but the Kaaba is merely a direction to unify all the Muslim ummah towards one certain building. That is this building, the Kaaba. But do you know how great the status of this Kaaba is? Due to this connection with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, although it is ghayrullah, even though it is other than Allah, due to this connection with Allah, the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, "Man nazara ila al-Ka'bati imanan wa tasdiqa kharaj al-khataya ka yawmin waladathu ummu." That when a person looks at the Kaaba with a sight full of iman and verification, belief, just that one sight, the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, all of his sins that he did with his hands, his face, his tongue, his eyes, his ears that listened to haram, his legs that walked towards haram, every single sin is removed from his body. It is all taken away just by one look. And the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, he is as though his mother has just given birth to him. Free, completely free from sin. Subhanallah, just because of the connection with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, this becomes one of the greatest tabarrukat that we have. And these Wahhabis and Devbandis who disregard the tabarrukat and those things that have become connected with Allah and the beloved of Allah, yet they still go and do Hajj. They still face the Kaaba. And do you know that Hajj is full of tabarrukat? It gives us a lesson of respecting the tabarrukat that have a connection with those beloved to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Look into Kitabul Bukhari Sharif, Kitabul Anbiya. The most authentic book of hadith. Sayyiduna Abdullah ibn Abbas radiallahu ta'ala records this narration. He says that Sayyiduna Ibrahim alayhi salam, when Sayyiduna Ismail alayhi salam was born, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala ordered Sayyiduna Ibrahim alayhi salam to leave Syria, Mulke Sham, to leave Syria. He takes Sayyiduna Ismail alayhi salam and his beloved wife Sayyida Hajira radiallahu anha, and he leaves Sham, he leaves Syria. He travels and travels with both of them. He doesn't tell Sayyida Hajira where he is going, why we are traveling. He just travels with them. You know, a woman from today's time, she wouldn't even leave the doorstep without knowing why she is leaving. You have to first tell her that this is where we are going. Then she takes time to decide whether she wants to go there or not. Hannah, this happens nowadays. But this is that time, and this is the blessed wife of Sayyiduna Ibrahim alayhi salam. She obediently says, let's go. They travel. They travel through all these jungles, they travel through all these difficult paths, and they travel and travel until they come to this place where there is no man, no sight of any creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, any creation that has the power to move like animals and humans. No sign of them. And she comes to this, and he brings them to this cactus plant, Babul ka darakht, and he sits them there. You know, after traveling for such a long time, Allah knows how long it took them to get there. He, as soon as he seats them there, he doesn't even stop. He continues his journey. He turns around and he walks away. Sayyiduna Ibrahim alayhi salam. Up till now, Sayyida Hajira radiallahu anha didn't say anything. She never said a word. Now she says, Ya Ibrahim, and this is in Bukhari Sharif. She says, Ya Ibrahimu, Aina tadhhab? Where are you going? And this is the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam telling us this story. She says, O Ibrahim, where are you going? وَتَتْرُكُنَا فِي هَذَا الْوَادِ الَّذِي لَيْسَ فِيهِ مِنْ أَنِيسٍ وَلَا شَيْءٍ. That there is absolutely no man. لَيْسَ فِيهِ أَنِيسٌ وَلَا شَيْءٍ. That there is no man and there is nothing in this place. Why are you leaving us in such a place? Where are you going? Sayyiduna Ibrahim alayhi salam didn't look back. And he didn't even stop. He continued to walk. Chalte gaye. Sayyida Hajra radiallahu anha again says the same thing. He doesn't stop, he doesn't look back. But she stays where Ibrahim alayhi salam left her. Now a woman from today would go and grab him and say that either take us with you or stay here with us. Hannah, this is the time that we are living in. People have become disobedient. But Sayyiduna Ibrahim alayhi salam keeps walking, and Sayyida Hajira, Sabira, such patience, she stays. After that, she thinks to herself that why is he not answering? Maybe Allah has ordered him to do this. So she says, أَمَرَكَ اللَّهُ بِهَذَا? Has Allah ordered you to do this? At that point, Sayyiduna Ibrahim alayhi salam stops, turns around, and he says, Naam. That's it. He just says, yes. And then he continues to walk. At that time, Sayyida Hajira radiallahu anha says, إِذَنْ لَا يُضَيِّعُنَا. If Allah has ordered this, then Allah will look after us. We don't need anybody else. Amen. Subhanallah. Look at this patience. Subhanallah. Anybody else would say, Allah would never order anything like this. Allah is not a zalim. Allah does not transgress against people. Allah would never order anything like this. But she knows that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tests the patience of those who believe. Have you not seen in the Quran? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that it is not, you think that just accepting Islam and saying that amanna, I have believed, that is enough and Allah will not test you. Verily, after believing, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will test you. And Allah only tests those who are more beloved to Allah. Because through that test, Allah forgives all your sins. Allah elevates your status. Subhanallah, Sayyida Hajira radiallahu anha at that time thinks that there is no worries. If Allah has ordered this, then Allah will look after us. Sayyidina Ibrahim alayhi salam kept walking. When he came to one of the mountains, he stood there and he looked towards Sayyida Hajira radiallahu anha. And this is mentioned in the Quran. He says, Rabbana askantu min dhurriyati biwadin, kya hai? Biwadin ghayri dhi zar'in. He says, in the baytika al-muharram, that, O Allah, I have left my family in this place where there is no life at all. There is no crops growing, there is nothing here, no people, no one. Near your blessed house, near your Baytuk al-Muharram, your blessed house, the house of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Ya Allah, he says, okay, O Allah, O my Lord, so that they worship you. And he says, O Allah, put in the hearts of people the thought of coming towards them and coming and helping them and looking after them. And do you know what happened? Sayyida Hajira radiallahu anha, Sayyidina Ibrahim alayhi salam only left a little bit of water and he left a few dates with them. She ate them dates and fed them dates to Sayyidina Ismail alayhi salam. They fed off that and they drank that water, but it was extremely hot. And all around them were mountains. And it was extremely hot that water soon finished. And the food finished as well. The milk in her breasts, that had dried as well. That finished. And now there was no food, there was no water. Sayyidina Ismail alayhi salam, due to this hunger and thirst, he began to hit his feet on the ground and move his hands. Sayyida Hajira became completely weak. But she could not bear that her child that she had given birth to was thirsty and he needed food and I could not provide this. So she looks around and she becomes completely muddly in search of food, not knowing what to do. She looks towards the right, towards the left, and she sees the mountains Safa and Marwa. And what she does is she thinks to herself that maybe there is water behind Safa, and she runs towards the mountain Safa. She runs there and she runs and she looks if there is anything there. She can't find anything. And now she's becoming completely madly worried about her child. She looks towards her child and she thinks, what if something happens to my child? What if he passes away? She runs back to the child. She sees Marwa and she runs all the way to Marwa to see maybe there's something over there. And then she comes back to her child. And then she sees that the child is okay, and then she starts worrying again. There is no food, there is no water. The child is drying, his mouth has become dry. He's dying, his mouth has become dry. What do I do? At that point she runs again towards Safa, towards Marwa. She runs here and there, she runs and runs, looking for water. And then at one point she feels the presence of an angel. Subhanallah, after this test of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, she feels the presence of an angel. And she looks towards Sayyidina Ismail alayhi salam and she sees this bright light. And she sees that Ismail alayhi salam, where he is hitting his foot, there is water coming out from there. She comes running to that and she sees that there is lots of water here. She gathers that the sand around, from around there, and she brings it close to close that water from coming out. And she closes it. And the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, narrating this narration, he says that if she left it running like that, if she didn't stop it, then khayran li ba'id, that it, the water would have fled and it would have taken over much, much more space. It would have all come out, all over the place. It would have spread out and it would have covered much, much of the land. But Sayyida Hajira radiallahu anha, she ensured that that doesn't happen. Alhamdulillah, now she had water. And do you know what? This water, this Zamzam water, simply because the foot of Sayyidina Ismail alayhi salam hit that place, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala caused water to come out from there. This water is so blessed. The Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, okay, the water of Zamzam, it comes from Jannah to the Hajar-e-Aswad, and from the Hajar-e-Aswad to the place where Zamzam is. Subhanallah. So tell me, if that water is coming from Jannah and it is coming to the Hajar-e-Aswad and from there to Zamzam, will it ever finish? It won't finish. The bounties in Jannah, The eternal bliss, it's all eternal. There is no limit to it. And therefore that water will never finish. There are so many wells that become dry. The worldly water, it becomes old. And it starts giving a bad smell, lime scale and all these things. All these illnesses come in them waters. But this blessed water is from Jannah. And this never happens to this. This never happens. And this Zamzam water, your Hajj is not complete without drinking this Zamzam water. This is the nisbah of a thing connected to a beloved of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Sayyiduna Ismail alayhi salam. Not directly to Allah, but to the beloved of Allah. And Allah has preserved it so well that today all the hujjaj after tawaf, you see them, they go to the Zamzam water. They drink that water. And do you know how much respect that water has? No other water in the world has this respect. How do you drink the water of Zamzam? You stand up in respect of that water. Khade hokar piye. And do you know how much you are allowed to drink? You're allowed to drink as much as you can to fill your stomach with that water. Standing up. You will stand up and drink that water. This is the respect of that water. Simply because it has become a tabarruk of Sayyiduna Ismail alayhi salam. Subhanallah. And somebody may say that even the water left from wuzu, you should stand up and drink that as well. Hana? Wuzu ka bacha hua pani bhi khade hoke piya jata hai. It is drunk standing up. And the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, it has shifa in it. Usme shifa hai, bimariyon se. But do you know, look into the books of fiqh, it says in there that only one or two sips of water. Not to fill your stomach. Tabarrukan thoda pile khade hokar. You only drink a bit of it standing up. But if you want to quench your thirst with that water, then you must sit down and drink it. It is only the water of Zamzam that has so much respect that you will drink it standing up. And you will drink it to fill your stomach. And do you know Sayyiduna Muhajir Makki? Hazrat Allama Muhajir Makki, Rahmatullahi Ta'ala Alayhi, who lived in the time of Imam Ahmad Raza radiallahu ta'ala and he did hijrah towards Makkatul Mukarramah. And do you know what he did? Subhanallah. For 7 years, saat saal ke liye, for 7 years he did not eat anything. Kuch nahi khaya unhone. Saat saal khaye bagair aadmi kaise zinda rahe? All he did was drank Zamzam water. Ye Hazrat Allama Muhajir Makki, Rahmatullahi Ta'ala Alayhi, Sahibul Ikleel, jinhone Madarikut Tanzeel ki sharah likhi. Subhanallah, all he did was drank the water of Zamzam. When he felt hungry, he drank the water of Zamzam. When he was thirsty, he drank the water of Zamzam. 7 years, he didn't even eat a grain of rice. Subhanallah, do you know why? Do you know why? Because Sayyiduna Ismail alayhi salam and Sayyida Hajira radiallahu anha, they weren't only thirsty, they were hungry as well. And therefore the water that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave through the touching of the feet of Sayyiduna Ismail alayhi salam was not only to quench their thirst, but also to fulfill their hunger. Subhanallah. And that water didn't only do the work of a drink, but also did the work of food. And until today, that water, Zamzam, it still does the work of food as well as drink. Subhanallah. This is how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has preserved the tabarrukat of those things that have a nisbah with a beloved of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And subhanallah, if you don't do sa'i in hajj, hajj mein sa'i agar na ki, to hajj mukammal kaise hua? How will your hajj become qabil-e qabool? How will it be accepted if you don't do sa'i? Run from one mountain to another. If you don't do that, then your hajj is not complete. And you have to do safa and marwa. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran, إِنَّ الصَّفَا وَالْمَرْوَةَ مِنْ شَعَائِرِ اللَّهِ. That verily, Safa and Marwa, they are from amongst the great signs of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They are from amongst the sha'air of Allah. Why are they from amongst the sha'air of Allah? No other reason but Sayyida Hajira radiallahu anha, madly worried about her child's thirst and hunger. She ran from one place to another. This test from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, this action of madness, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala found so beloved that Allah has preserved it so much that thousands of years have passed. Yet we are still going there. People, thousands of people are today madly running from one place to another, then walking from one place to another, and then running from the other place to the other. They are doing this. What an action. This is an action of a madman. Why are they doing this? Simply because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala preserves those things that have a nisbah to them, to Allah's beloveds. And that is why we do Safa and Marwa. If you look at the actions of Hajj, they are all actions of madness. Diwane, it is actions of a diwana, a mastana, somebody who is madly in love with someone. If you see a moth, parwana, when there's a light shining, it roams around it. And it roams around it madly. Do you know why I say madly? Because if there's a fire burning, it will dive inside that fire, it will die. But it will go towards that light, because it is madly in love with that light. In the same way, when we go to Hajj, we madly walk around the Kaaba. We walk around the Kaaba, this Kaaba that Sayyiduna Adam alayhi salam made. This Kaaba that Sayyiduna Ibrahim alayhi salam and Sayyiduna Ismail alayhi salam built. This Kaaba that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did tawaf around. We do that in a state of madness, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala finds the actions of His beloved, and that is why He orders us to do them. Subhanallah. And do you know, in the house of Allah there used to be idols. Idol worshippers used to worship idols in Kaaba, and they used to roam around it naked. And Safa and Marwa, you know, the mushrikeen of Makkah, they used to regard Safa and Marwa, they used to have idols there. And they used to regard Safa and Marwa as two of their greatest idols, and they used to go and worship there. When Islam came and the hukum came of Safa and Marwa, some of the Muslims, they found it difficult to go there and worship. They found it difficult because it resembled the actions of the mushrikeen. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed the verse, فَلَا جُنَاحَ عَلَيْكُمْ أَن يَطَّوَّفَ بِهِمَا. And you know what فَلَا جُنَاحَ means? It is wajib for you. And there is also no harm in doing this. Subhanallah. And today people say ke mazarat pe qawwali hoti hai, sajde hote hai, aurte hote hai, lihaza ye sab barbaad kar dena chahiye. This is what people say. You should destroy the graves, because on these graves there are people doing sajda, people listening to music, qawwali, and women attending there. There is so much haram happening, so we should destroy them. No, this is wrong. Learn from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Learn from the sunnah and the way of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Although Safa and Marwa were used by the mushrikeen, the idols of the mushrikeen, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala eradicated the haram and preserved the barakah of them places. In the same way, the Kaaba, its status remains. Allah preserved its status, but Allah eradicated all the idols and all the wrongdoings. In the same way, if you want to correct it, you should eradicate the qawwali, eradicate the sajda that people are doing, eradicate that which is haram, but preserve that which is blessed, preserve that which is mubarak. This is the way of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And anybody who does something against this, then they are going against the way of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They are going against the sunnah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Subhanallah, this is Safa and Marwa. And do you know, Sayyiduna Ibrahim alayhi salam, he then returned. What happened with Sayyida Hajira and Sayyiduna Ismail alayhi salam was that a group of people were walking past. A family of people, they were walking past the tribe, and they saw a bird flying around this specific place. So the leader of this group, this traveling group, sent some people there that find out there must be water there. They found that there was plenty of water there. They found Zamzam there. So the people came to this place. They said to Sayyida Hajira that give us permission to use this water. And then they said, give us permission to stay here. We will from now live here. This was the dua of Sayyiduna Ibrahim alayhi salam, that may in the hearts of people come the desire to come towards my family and then look after them. These people came and they resided with Sayyida Hajira and Sayyiduna Ismail alayhi salam. And then after a little while, Sayyida Hajira radiallahu anha passed away. Subhanallah. That woman from head to toe was patience. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala elevate her status more and more. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us and our women the tawfiq to learn from her patience. Sayyidina Ismail alayhi salam, however, he was growing very fast. He was growing abnormally fast, meaning he looked so beautiful and strong, and he was growing very fast. And the people, they gave a woman in his nikah from their family. He became married and he became living in his own house. Sayyidina Ibrahim alayhi salam once thought that I should go and visit my son. He comes to visit his son and he comes into the house after people show him that this is the house of Sayyidina Ismail. This is the house of Ismail. So he comes there and he finds that Sayyidina Ismail alayhi salam is not in the house. So his wife is in the house. So he says that, where is Ismail? She says he has gone hunting for animals, for food. So he asks that, how is life? How is Ismail living? How is his life going? How is the food and everything? And she says that every day we have to eat food that is hunted. And it is not good for our bodies. Things are not as good as they should be. She complained about life. Sayyidina Ibrahim alayhi salam says to her, that when Ismail returns, give my salam to him and tell him to change his doorstep. And now he leaves. Sayyidina Ismail alayhi salam comes and he comes in the house and he smells this beautiful fragrance. And from that he knows that his father has been here, because it smells so beautiful. So he smells around the house and he says to his wife that, did somebody come here? She says, yes, an old man came and he was asking about you. I told him you were out hunting. He asked how things were, and I said that things are really bad, and we have to eat animals that have been hunted, and it is not good for our bodies. It's not good. Sayyidina Ismail alayhi salam asked, did he say anything else? She says, yes, he said salam upon you and he said, change your doorstep. So now Sayyidina Ismail alayhi salam says, ilhaqi bi ahlik, go and live with your mother and father. I give talaq to you. He divorces her because he understood the words of Sayyidina Ibrahim alayhi salam, change your doorstep, meaning your wife is not good for you. Give her divorce. So he divorces her straight away. You know, this son, Sayyidina Ismail alayhi salam, you know, somebody might say that he was abandoned by his father since he was a child. Now he returns after so long. Sayyidina Ismail alayhi salam is still so obedient. All his father said was, change your doorstep. He could have thought, okay, oh, he must have meant something else. Maybe he means something else. No. He straight away understood, he divorced his wife. The people gave him another woman. They started living together. Sayyidina Ibrahim alayhi salam returned after a while. He comes, Sayyidina Ismail alayhi salam is not in the house. His wife is there. He asks her that, where is Ismail? He is out hunting. How is life? She says, life is alhamdulillah, very good. We have plenty of food. He hunts and we have all that food that he hunts down, the animals that he brings, and we cook that food. We eat that meat. Everything is fine. There are people who are living such hardships, but we, alhamdulillah, have plenty of food and plenty of drink. Sayyidina Ibrahim alayhi salam says, give him my salam and tell him to protect his doorstep. Subhanallah. Sayyidina Ismail alayhi salam returns. It's beautiful smell. He knows that his father was here. He asks his wife. His wife tells him what happened. And he says that, do you know what that means? It means that my father said that you are a very good wife and I must protect you. And she tells him that that was my father Ibrahim. And Sayyidina Ibrahim alayhi salam after a while returned. And after he returned, he says to Sayyidina Ismail alayhi salam that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given an order. Will you support me in this order? I need your help. Sayyidina Ismail alayhi salam says, of course I will. Your order, your command is my wish. And then he says that Allah has ordered to build this Kaaba. They start building the Kaaba, renewing the bricks of the Kaaba. And they build the Kaaba and they come to a place where it becomes too high to reach. Sayyidina Ibrahim alayhi salam is placing the bricks. Sayyidina Ismail alayhi salam is breaking the bricks and cutting the bricks and bringing them. This is all mentioned in the Quran. And Sayyidina Ibrahim alayhi salam can't reach. So Sayyidina Ismail alayhi salam finds this stone and he gives it to Sayyidina Ibrahim alayhi salam. On there Sayyidina Ibrahim alayhi salam places his blessed foot. And that stone, do you know what happened with that stone? Every time he had to reach higher, the stone rose from its place. And the higher he went, the stone moved up. And that stone accepted the footprint of Sayyidina Ibrahim alayhi salam's blessed foot. And that is the Maqam-e Ibrahim. Subhanallah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَاتَّخِذُوا مِن مَقَامِ إِبْرَاهِيمَ مُصَلَّى. Take the Maqam of Ibrahim as your place of worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Subhanallah. And these people are against tabarrukat. The foot of Sayyidina Ibrahim alayhi salam on this stone, the footprint is on there, and Allah has given it such a maqam that it is there close to the Kaaba, and Allah orders the believers and those on Hajj and Umrah to take it as a place of worship. Yet these people, when we use tabarrukat, they say shirk and bidah. Where is the shirk and bidah in Hajj? The whole of Hajj is based on tabarrukat. This is the importance of Hajj. That when you go to Hajj, you learn these lessons and you strengthen your faith. The Maqam-e Ibrahim, Subhanallah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Fihi ayatum bayyinat. There are clear signs of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in it. Allah doesn't say there is one clear sign in the Maqam. He says there are plural, clear signs of Allah in the Maqam-e Ibrahim. Subhanallah. That is the tabarrukat of those who are beloved to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah has preserved them so well, and Allah has protected them so well, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala ensures that the Kaaba will be protected, and the Maqam-e Ibrahim with the Kaaba will be protected. I apologize, I have taken 2 minutes more than I was supposed to, but there is so much more to say in regards to Hajj and the tabarrukat in the time of Hajj that we can learn and strengthen our faith. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us from misguidance. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the tawfiq to strengthen our faith through the lessons learned in Hajj. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us all the ability to one day go and perform Hajj. And just one more important thing that I have to mention, without which this speech would not be complete, is that when a person goes to do Hajj, then he must go to Madinatul Munawwara and he must do the ziyarah of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Because the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Man zara qabri, he who visits my grave, wajabat lahu shafa'ati, my intercession becomes wajib for that person. I will do his intercession. And not only that, in another hadith, it says that when you perform Hajj, you must go and perform the ziyarah of the qabr of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And he who does the ziyarat of my qabr will very soon see me. Subhanallah. If you want to do the ziyarat of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, then do the ziyarat of the qabr of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And not only that, Medina is so blessed. The Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam himself said, Inna fi ghubariha shifa. In the ghubar, in the dust of Madinatul Munawwara, there is shifa. Just go and breathe, take air in and out. There is shifa in that dust, in Madinatul Munawwara. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the tawfiq to visit Madinatul Munawwara. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us death in these places, in these blessed places. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgive us our sins, and may Allah give us the tawfiq to learn as much as we can, and may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the tawfiq to become those who are beloved to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Jazakallahu khaira wa ma'alina illa al-balagh.